语课堂听 class.com。
Part 3. Interpreting. Instructions. Listen to the following passages and start interpreting at the end of each segment. Sentence 1.
在五千多年的历史长河中，中华民族为人类文明进步做出了巨大贡献，同时也走过了曲折艰辛的道路。
Sentence 2.
必须看到，中国尽管取得了巨大的发展成就，但仍是世界上最大的发展中国家。中国人民的生活还不富裕，中国的发展还面临着不少突出的矛盾和问题。
Sentence 3.
I ask every developing country to adopt and begin to implement, by next year, a comprehensive national strategy bold enough to achieve the Millennium Development Goals by 2015.
Sentence 4.
Specifically, I ask developing countries to improve their governance.Uphold the rule of law, combat corruption, and adopt an inclusive approach to development.
Passage 1.
胡锦涛耶鲁大学2006年演讲节选。
尊敬的以他的莱文校长
Mr. Richard Levin, President of Yale University.Dear students and faculty members,
同学们，首先，我感谢莱文校长的邀请，使我有机会来到这世界一流的著名学府耶鲁大学，同青年朋友们和老师们相聚在一起。进入耶鲁大学的校园，看到莘莘学子青春洋溢的脸庞，呼吸着书香浓郁的空气，我不由回想起40年前在北京清华大学度过的美好时光。学生时代对于人的一生都会产生重要影响。当年老师们对我的教诲，同学们给我的启发，我至今仍受用不尽。耶鲁大学以悠久的发展历史、独特的办学风格、卓著的学术成就闻名于世。如果时光能够倒流几十年，我真希望成为你们中的一员。中美两国都拥有辽阔的国土，都是多个民族并存、多种文化融合的国家，都生活着勤劳智慧的人民。中美因不同的历史背景和现实国情而存在着差异，这有利于我们相互借鉴、取长补短。中美加强合作符合两国和两国人民的根本利益，对世界的和平与发展也具有重大影响。200多年来，浩瀚的太平洋并未阻断中美两国人民的交流合作。中美两国人民相互学习、相互帮助，谱写了世界不同文明相互借鉴的美好篇章。 1979年，中美建交27年来，两国关系曾历经曲折，但总体上保持了稳定发展的大方向，给两国和两国人民带来了巨大利益。进入21世纪，国际形势继续深刻变化，和平和发展仍然是当今时代的主题，但不稳定、不确定因素在增多，新挑战、新威胁在增加。在新的国际形势下，中美两国的共同利益在增多，合作领域在扩大。我相信，只要我们从中美关系发展的大局出发，彼此尊重，相互理解，两国关系就能够健康稳定地向前发展，给两国人民带来更多的利益，给世界各国人民带来更大希望。长江后浪推前浪，世上新人换旧人，青年人是世界的希望和未来，青年人有着蓬勃向上的生命活力和无穷的创造力。我衷心的希望中美两国青年携起手来，以实际行动促进中美两国人民友好，同世界各国人民一道，共创世界美好的明天。谢谢各位。
Passage 2. United Nations Secretary General presents his report. In Larger Freedom, Towards Development, Security and Human Rights for All.
Mr. President, Excellencies, thank you for allowing me to present to you in person the 5-year progress report that you requested from me on the implementation of the Millennium Declaration. The main message of that report is that the aims of the declaration can be achieved only if you, the member states, are willing to adopt a package of specific concrete decisions this year. Some of these decisions are so important that they need to be taken at the level of heads of states and government. It is therefore very fortunate that your heads of states and government have agreed to come here for a summit meeting in September. I'm giving you my report 6 months ahead of that meeting so that your governments have ample time to consider it. My hope is that world leaders, when they arrive here in September, will be ready to take the decisions that are needed. And I hope they will adopt them as a package. As in any such list of proposals, there are items which seem more important to some than to others, and items about which some have reservations while others consider them essential. The temptation is to treat the list as an a la carte menu and select only those you especially fancy. In this case, that approach will not work. What I am proposing amounts to a comprehensive strategy. It gives equal weight and attention to the 3 great purposes of the organization: development, security, and human rights, all of which must be underpinned by the rule of law. Some states may think that we should give priority to one of those purposes over the others, and within each of them, many states will have their particular preferences. But I do not need to remind you that this is an organization of 191 member states. We all know that global problems can best be solved if all states work together. We must also accept that will only happen if within the common strategy, all states see their specific concerns addressed. Let me now briefly describe what I propose. I ask every developing country to adopt and begin to implement by next year a comprehensive national strategy bold enough to achieve the Millennium Development Goals by 2015, and to mobilize all its resources behind that strategy. Specifically, I ask developing countries to improve their governance, uphold the rule of law, combat corruption, and adopt an inclusive approach to development, making space for civil society and the private sector to play their full role. The challenge of development is too big for governments to face alone. I ask every developed country to support these strategies by increasing the amount it spends on development and debt relief, and doing whatever it can to level the playing field for world trade. Specifically, I ask developed countries to commit themselves this year to complete the Doha round of trade negotiations no later than 2006. And as a first step, to give immediate duty-free and quota-free market access to all exports from the least developed countries. I also ask them to commit themselves to reach by 2015 the target of spending 0.7% of their gross domestic income on official development assistance. This increase must be front-loaded through an international finance facility, since if we are to reach the goals by 2015, we need the increased spending right away. For the longer term, other innovative sources of financing must be considered. All governments must be accountable to fulfilling their part of this bargain, both to their own peoples and to each other. I stress that development must be sustainable. All our efforts will be in vain if their results are reversed by continued degradation of the environment and depletion of our natural resources. I believe my report provides a clear program of action that are fully within the powers of your governments to take. I urge you once again to study it, and I urge your heads of state and government to be ready to take those decisions when they come here next September for the summit. Thank you very much.